Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. And he showed me a pure river, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." And he said to me, "Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, and sexually immoral and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I come quickly.' Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Verses 1 through 20, Revelation chapter 22. Thank you, Lord, again for the power and the grace, the strength, the wisdom, and the insight found in your word. Thank you for the ways your word blesses us, edifies us, strengthens us, draws us closer to you, and molds us to become more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With every passing day, more and more help us to be the faithful students of your word, believers who are continually reading and meditating on your word, and who are living a life as doers of your word as well. Thank you for your word and the many ways it's a gift and a reward to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, In these moments, I ask on behalf of myself, on the behalf of Pastor Joseph, and on behalf of all the listeners, I ask that you'd give us peace in these moments, that you'd reveal your face to us. Father, I ask that you'd grow a hunger in our hearts for more of you. Father, I ask for revelation of your grand plan of how you were waiting to redeem us since the beginning of time. Father, I ask for you to remind us how you're coming again and for you and your truth and your love to be on our mind all day today. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. You know, on a pretty regular basis, we're encouraging you, if you don't already have the habit of reading at least three chapters in your Bible every day, we encourage you to start that habit today if you haven't. And parents, we're encouraging you to have the habit of having each one of your children to read no less than three chapters out loud to you each and every day. Well, of course, one of our goals behind that is, remember, there's nothing better for us and our children than the powerful, nourishing, and uplifting Word of God. God's Word is full of life, full of grace. It's pregnant with the ability to bless us, to guide us, and to empower us in life to be all that we've been called to be and to do what we've been called to do. So starting that habit of getting into the Word every day is so, so important. I can't overemphasize how important it is. And I want to share an article, but before I share this article, I want to remind, especially to parents with children that may be out for summer break, having them to spend even more time in the Word of God and maybe giving them rewards or coming up with ways to encourage them to spend extra time in the Word of God. Remember, that's so productive. The idea of children spending extra time on their cell phones and pouring so much of the toxic darkness that is easily accessed through cell phones and other media that they may have access to whereby they can connect with the internet. It's important to understand many of the problems, the difficulties, and the challenges you see with young people is because too many of them are being discipled in darkness. They're flooding their minds with all sorts of toxic information that comes from the internet, and many times unchecked. Too often, parents may allow the phone to kind of babysit their children or media or some form that, again, too often is full of all sorts of poisonous stuff for the minds and the hearts of our young people. So, weaning them from those kinds of things is important, but helping them to get into the Word of God. Remember, God's Word is pure light. There's nothing better for our children than the Word of God. So during the summer months, having them to read out loud to you more, as well as coming up with projects whereby they're reading and getting into the Word, memorizing Scripture, these are wise things and productive things that will bless our children's lives in so, so many ways. So starting the habit of having them to read the Word out loud to you daily is a good thing to start even today. Again, three chapters you can do in about 15 minutes, so it's a wise thing to do. I'm going to take time now to share an article entitled, What If God Wrote a Book? What if God wrote a book? What would he say? What would he tell us about himself? What would he share with the world? What would he say about life? What would he explain all, or would he explain all the greatest mysteries of life and of the universe? Would he try to answer all of our questions? Would he try to answer any of our questions? If God wrote a book, would you read it? Would you make it a top priority to find out what the creator of the universe had to say? Would you decide that the creator of all men and women on earth must have something important to communicate to his creation? Or would you say, I have no interest in what he has to say. I like this or that author or his or her writing, but I'm not into religion. Well, God did write a book. We call it the Bible, and we call it the written word of God. The Bible is a top-selling book. It is, in fact, the best-selling book in the whole world. It is, in fact, the best-selling book of all time. According to Guinness World Records, as of 1995, the Bible is the best-selling nonfiction book of all time with an estimated 5 billion copies sold and distributed. That's quite an impressive record. For some who still question the accuracy and inerrancy of the Bible and who might wonder why Guinness World Records could put it in the nonfiction category, we suggest you visiting and learning more about the AFA project entitled The God Who Speaks. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org. And when you get done with that, again, take some time to really take to heart what is shared. God used around 40 or so human secretaries to write the Bible. And it's actually one story. It's the story of God who created the universe and how mankind, part of his creation, fell into sin. And it's the story of how God provided redemption through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. So of all the good books in the world, none outsell God's book, the Bible. And of all the good books you can read, wouldn't it be wise to read the one written by the one who made you? Wouldn't reading the book written by the creator of the universe be much more productive than simply reading books written by his creatures? For best results, follow the instructions of the manufacturer. Let's be wise enough to listen to the wisdom of the one who made us. He has the words of eternal life. Everyday believers have the opportunity to do all of these things with God's word. We can daily read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Reading 3 chapters in the Bible daily will bless your life a lot. How? The steps you take and decisions you make in life can have more certainty, just like Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Here are 11 other excellent ways God's word will light your path in life as you develop the habit of reading the word of God daily. Number one, tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. See John 3:16, Psalm 119, verse 105. And it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. See Psalm 119, verse 5. Next, it empowers your prayer life. See Philippians 4:6-7. Then also it sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. See 1 Corinthians 1:5. Next, it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. See Proverbs 4:20-22. Next, it helps you maintain your mental health. Next, it increases the anointing on every part of your life. See 1 Corinthians 1-5. Next, it increases your wisdom in every area of your life. See Proverbs chapters 1-4. Next, it enhances your intellect and personality. It can literally increase your IQ. Next, it pours grace, joy, and peace into your spirit, mind, and your life. See 2 Corinthians 1:2. 1 Timothy 1:2, 2 Timothy 1:2, and Galatians 5:22. And finally, by direct statement or in principle, God's word gives you guidance and or direction about every issue or topic in life. See Psalm 119, verse 105. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says it so clearly with, All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And for the greatest work done by Jesus and shared by the Bible is the work that leads to salvation. If you'd like to know Jesus Christ personally and would like to invite him into your heart, you can pray this or a similar prayer. We invite you to pray it with us even now. Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I recognize that I've sinned and done wrong. Forgive me for all the wrongs I've done. I do believe you died on the cross to pay for my sins. I believe that 3 days later you rose from the dead so that I could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to die for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, the title of that article, What If God Wrote a Book? If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, we'd be glad to get it to you again. joseph@afr.net for the article, What If God Wrote a Book? We'll be right back.
Through the night.
the music of Planet Shakers with Only Way. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Selection reminding us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation and the only way to eternal life. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the Old Testament, the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, "Arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can. For the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years. So the woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. It came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, "Tell me, please, all the great things Elisha has done." Now it happened, as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life." And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, "Restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left the land until now." Then Elisha went to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, was sick. And it was told him, saying, "The man of God has come here." And the king said to Hazael, "Take a present in your hand and go to meet the man of God and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, 'Shall I recover from this disease?'" So Hazael went to meet him and took a present with him of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camel loads. And he came and stood before him and said, "Your son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to you, saying, 'Shall I recover from this disease?'" And Elisha said to him, "Go, say to him, 'You shall certainly recover. However, the Lord has shown me that he will really die.'" Then he set his countenance in a stare until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept. And Hazael said, Why is my lord weeping?" He answered, "Because I know the evil that you will do to the children of Israel. Their strongholds you will set on fire, and their young men you will kill with the sword, and you will dash their children and rip open their women with child." So Hazael said, "But what is your servant, a dog, that he should do this gross thing?" And Elisha answered, "The Lord has shown me that you will become king over Syria." Then he departed from Elisha and came to his master, who said to him, "What did Elisha say to you?" And he answered, He told me you would surely recover. But it happened on the next day that he took a thick cloth and dipped it in water and spread it over his face so that he died. And Hazael reigned in his place. Now in the 5th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat having been king of Judah, Jehoram the son of Jehoshaphat began to reign as king of Judah. He was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done. For the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for the sake of his servant David, as he promised him to give a lamp to him and his sons forever. In his days, Edom revolted against Judah's authority and made a king over themselves. So Joram went to Zair and all his chariots with him. Then he rose by night and attacked the Edomites who had surrounded him, and the captains of the chariots and the troops fled to their tents. Thus Edom has been in revolt against Judah's authority to this day, and Libnah revolted at that time. Now the rest of the acts of Joram and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Joram rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Then Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his place. In the 12th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri, king of Israel. And he walked in the way of the house of Ahab and did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. Now he went with Joram, the son of Ahab, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians wounded Joram. Then King Joram went back to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which the Syrians had inflicted on him at Ramah, when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. And Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel, because he was sick. 2 Kings chapter 9. And Elisha the prophet called one of the sons of the prophets and said to him, "Get yourself ready, take this flask of oil in your hand, and go to Ramoth Gilead. Now when you arrive at that place, look there for Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him and go in and make him rise up from among his associates and take him to an inner room. Then take the flask of oil and pour it on his head and say, 'Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel.' Then open the door and flee, and do not delay." So the young man, the servant of the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he arrived, there were the captains of the army sitting, and he said, I have a message for you, commander." Jehu said, "For which one of us?" And he said, "For you, commander." Then he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said to him, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed you king over the people of the Lord, over Israel. You shall strike down the house of Ahab, your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab all the males in Israel, both bond and free. So I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. The dog shall eat Jezebel on the plot of ground at Jezebel, The dog shall eat Jezebel on the plot of ground at Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her." And he opened the door and fled. Then Jehu came out to the servants of his master, and one said to him, "Is all well? Why did this madman come to you?" And he said to them, "You know the man and his babble." And they said, "A lie. Tell us now." So he said, "Thus and thus he spoke to me, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel.' Then each man hastened to take his garment and put it under him on the top of the steps. And they blew trumpets, saying, 'Jehu is king.' So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram had been defending Ramoth-Gilead, he and all Israel, against Hazael, king of Syria. But King Joram had returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which the Syrians had inflicted on him when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Jehu said, "If you are so minded, let no one leave or escape from the city to go and tell it in Jezreel." So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram was laid up there. And Ahaziah, king of Judah, had come down to see Joram. Now a watchman stood on the tower in Jezreel, and he saw the company of Jehu as he came and said, "I see a company of men." And Joram said, "Get a horseman and send him to meet him. Get a horseman and send him to meet them, and let him say, 'Is it peace?'" So the horseman went to meet him and said, "Thus says the king, 'Is it peace?'" And Jehu said, "What have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me." So the watchman reported, saying, "The messenger went to them, but is not coming back." Then he sent out a second horseman who came to them and said, "Thus says the king, 'Is it peace?'" And Jehu answered, "What have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me." So the watchman reported, saying, "He went up to them and is not coming back. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he is driving furiously." Then Joram said, "Make ready." And his chariot was made ready. Then Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out each in his chariot, and they went out to meet Jehu and met him on the property of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now it happened when Joram saw Jehu that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" So he answered, "What peace, as long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many?" Then Joram turned around and fled and said to Ahaziah, "Treachery, Ahaziah." Now Jehu drew his bow with full strength and shot Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow came out at his heart, and he sank down in his chariot. Then Jehu said to Bidkar, his captain, "Pick him up and throw him into the tract of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember, when you and I were riding together behind Ahab his father, that the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I saw yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, says the Lord, and I will repay you in this plot, says the Lord. Now therefore take and throw him on the plot of ground according to the word of the Lord." But when Ahaziah, king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the road to Beth Hagen. So Jehu pursued him and said, "Shoot him also in the chariot." And they shot him at the ascent of Gur, which is by Ibleam. Then he fled to Megiddo and died there. And his servants carried him in the chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his tomb with his fathers in the city of David. In the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, Ahaziah had become king over Judah. Verses 1 through 29, 2 Kings chapter 9. Thank you, Lord, once again for the gift, the wonderful gift your word is to us, and thank you for the privilege we have of being able to read and meditate on your word every day. Thank you, Lord, for how that as we read and meditate on your word, you're molding us and shaping us, you're molding and shaping us to become more and more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're growing in faith and growing in our understanding of who you are and what you've called us to do. Father, more and more, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that we would become the mission-minded followers of Christ you've called us to be. Help us to grow in understanding of the fact that there's so much work to be done in the fields. The fields are ripe to harvest. Anoint us afresh today with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship, and more help us to live a lifestyle of evangelism and discipleship everywhere we go, as your Holy Spirit would direct us to do. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. As we're reading through the Word of God, we'll be right back. Music of Mosaic with Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up now the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 2. And before we begin reading, just a reminder, again, if you don't already have the habit of reading at least three chapters in your Bible every day, you don't know what you're missing. There's so much grace, joy, peace, and power that flows into your heart, your mind, and your life as you make it a priority to get into God's Word every single day. Remember, when you're spending time reading the Word, you're spending time with Jesus Himself, and He's ministering to your mind, body, and spirit. One of the most productive habits in all of life is that of reading God's Word every single day. We pick up now in the book of Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. For this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head from whom all the body nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Colossians chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to God. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Colossians chapter 4. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open for us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those who are in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. End of the book of Colossians. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never made the eternally important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a wonderful day to make that eternally important decision. If you'd like to make that decision and commit your life to Christ, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me with an eternal love. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrongs I've done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're very much wanting to connect with you and be in touch with you. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch with us. We definitely hope to hear from you once again. joseph@afr.net. We hope to hear from you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.